2 Peter chapter 1, several verses starting at verse 12. Peter speaking. So I will always remind you of these things. I'll let you know what these things are. Remind you what we talked about last week. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know I'm going to soon put it aside. You know what he's talking about there? He is headed towards heaven, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when you told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And, it's a big A there, you can circle that and. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, that is a great thing to underline in your Bible. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. Excuse me. This is new for me. My cough drop on the other side. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray your healing touch and your holding touch on my body for this next half hour. Message would be clear. And we would understand, Lord, that there are challenges that surround us a lot bigger than a cough on a Sunday morning. That it's dark out there. And in the midst of the darkness, there is a light that shines. And that you would meet us, Lord, this morning. Guiding us and directing us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. I'm so glad Roki did not speak long, because he started talking about what I was going to talk about, which is the Bengals and the Steelers game last night. Now, how many of you saw that game, by the way? Well, there was a lot of drama leading up to the game. For those of you, I won't belabor the point, but playoff weekend, first week of the playoffs was yesterday. But these two teams, the Steelers, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, have already played twice this year. They're in the same division. And there's a lot of tension going into last night's game, because a fight or a shoving match or a brouhaha or whatever you want to call it started on week 14, about 3 weeks ago, before the game even started. That one of the guys, this guy, what is this guy's name? His name is Vantaz Burfict. And if I'm butchering that name, give me some grace if you would, please. Anyway, this guy kind of started pushing one of the other players around before, well, they're just doing warm-ups. So there's some fines put out and all that kind of stuff. But yesterday, before the game started, coaches are telling the players, hey, playoff game, play the game, let the game stand. They had the officials and the coaches standing at midfield before the game so that there wouldn't be any drama that popped up because of anybody's exuberance for the game. So the game goes on, and Cincinnati is playing with a rookie quarterback. Their quarterback is hurt. He's out for the year. And Cincinnati comes into the game. They've played playoff games, but they have not won a playoff game in 20 years. So the people are excited, and I come home, turn on the game, it's on tape after the prayer meeting, and it is raining. I think that rain we had that I was standing in, getting this cold, it's there now. Because it was coming down hard, it's a big old storm. Game goes on, it's scoreless at half, not very much score. Ben Roethlisberger is a quarterback for the Steelers, comes into the fourth quarter, Cincinnati's losing. And this guy right here, I think this guy, tackles Ben, injures his arm, and he comes out of the game. So now we got two rookie quarterbacks that are in there. The other guy's been struggling, throwing in the rain, doing all this stuff. Anyway, to cut to the end, there's like 2 minutes left, less than 2 minutes left, and Cincinnati pulls ahead by 1 point. Pittsburgh gets the ball, is ineffective, and Cincinnati gets the ball back with like a minute, 37, something like that. All they have to do is run the ball into the line, chew up the timeouts. They win the game. 25 years. Hey, we're going next week to the next round. Running back. Gonna be the stars rushing through, and they strip the ball. Oh, no! And Ben comes in. Ben. So Roethlisberger comes in, and they're showing pictures of the running back, just feeling so bad. Oh, I'm feeling bad. I've given away the game. And so Ben comes in, begins moving the ball. They're using their timeouts. His shoulder's still messed up. There's problems. There's 22 seconds left. There's no time left. no more timeouts that they have. Throws the ball down the middle. And this guy, receiver's getting the ball. Doesn't look like he's going to catch it, but he just lays out the receiver, gets a personal foul. Been talking about it all season. The refs are saying we're going to call a tight game because you guys got high tensions, and there's been tight tensions already. Ben's already on the ground. This guy just lays this kid out, just like knocks him out. He's just laying there. Penalty flag comes in, right? And I mean, these guys are professional football players. They're making millions of dollars. This guy has a history of having legal troubles and troubles in the league and all this kind of stuff. Lays the guy out. 15-yard penalty, and it puts them right on the edge of the rookie field goal kicker's range. And so everybody's jumping up and down, and the kid's knocked out, you know, and the doctors are out on the field. And then maybe you've heard of Pac-Man Jones. Well, he ends up, Marvin Lewis is the coach of the Bengals. He's saying, calm down, get off the side, all this kind of stuff. But no, Pac-Man Jones, it'll be Pac-Man Jones. Jumps in there, starts yelling and screaming, pushes a referee. Another flag comes out. Another 15 yards. And so what has happened in the challenge of the game, because this dude and this dude are out of control and not listening to this dude, they move Ben and the Steelers ahead 30 yards. They don't even run a play. They said, this is just out of control. Kick the field goal. So they move from a certain win. Realistically, all they have to do is nothing. And they win. And they cast it away. And they step into failure. And still, Cincinnati has not won a playoff game in 25 years. Failure. You can find it in life. Times are dark out there. Series is called Standing Tall in Troubled Times. Last week I talked about the coming darkness, coming challenges in our way, and this week the stock market dropped 1,000 points. I don't know how many people holding on to a bunch of stocks. It is the worst week since 2011. It's like the worst first week of the year. I don't even know how long. But, man, there are tensions. Saudi Arabia closed its embassy with Iran. We've got, I don't know if you heard, but New Year's Eve in Cologne, Germany. All the revelers and celebrators are out there. It's kind of like Times Square. And packs, gangs, groups of Syrian refugees are groping the women and stealing all their money, their purses, and all this kind of stuff. And so there is drama that is going on around us. There is darkness that is getting darker. Amen? Are you tracking with me? Now, Peter is living in dark times. Peter, realistically, is, I mean, they're crucifying Christians for being Christians. They're doing that in ISIS, but it says that Nero lit his gardens by burning Christians at the stake. That's the leader of Rome, okay? So, and Peter was crucified upside down, and Paul. So you can make a case that Peter was indeed living in a darker time than we are living. And he writes this message. And his message is, there is hope in the midst of darkness because of the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There is a foundation for life, for standing strong in the midst of challenge and in troubling times because of the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter tells us that when you are surrounded by squalor, you can stand tall. Come to this message. This is a message for our day. The message that we need to, just as Peter says, pay close attention. We need to pay close attention to this because we can stand tall in the midst of the challenge and sidestep failure that is looking for us right in the face. Amen? Amen. We don't have to be Pac-Man Jones or this guy, Perfect. Title of today's message is Stepping in to Victory. Amen? Amen. I was going to say, I think I have the game on tape, but I did believe I erased it. So, anyway, let us move on. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth that you now have. I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Yeah. Peter gives us a friendly reminder. He says, I already know all this stuff. It is like the coach last night saying, guys, we got the big game. Keep it under control. No stupid fouls. No stupid penalties. And what do? Stupid fouls. Stupid penalties. And give away the game. Guys, I just want to remind you that if you would work the basics, you can find victory. What is he talking about? Remind you of these things. We do a rewind to last week. We talked about the qualities that God would have us build on the faith that he gives us. I hope you wrote these down. If not, they are in the beginning of 2 Peter. They're right in your Bible, recorded for you, that to your faith add goodness, to your goodness add knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness kindness, and to kindness love. These are the basics of the faith, the building blocks of the faith. And when you have these, you will have victory in your life. Amen. You will get heaven when it ends. Peter, standing firm in the faith, he is headed to heaven. Peter says, if you do these things, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is like he's the guide, right? Guide leading us on a march, leading us on a hike, and he crests the hill a little before us, and he says, come on, guys, it's right there. Keep on going. I can see it. He says, I'm headed to heaven. I want to believe that you guys are going to make it. Because, as Perfect and Pac-Man Jones found out, Victory will come and just snatch it right, or failure will snatch your victory right away from you. Amen? All right. Peter's not making this stuff up. He says, I saw this with my own eyes. We did not follow cleverly devised stories when you were told about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. About his power, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him for the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. I'm telling you what I saw. I am telling you what I know. Peter has no doubts. I saw it with my own eyes, he says. Sacred Mountain, he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus, and he was transfigured before them. It was like he was dressed in lightning. He was revealed in glory that we will one day hopefully see our Lord Jesus revealed in. Amen? He said, I saw it. I wasn't making it up, and it transformed my life. I saw that. I heard the voice of God from heaven, and I was never the same again. It is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, and Luke chapter 9. Changed by seeing Jesus Christ. Changed Peter's life. It might have been other issues, other incidents as Jesus lived and walked among the people of the world that had impact on other people. For Thomas, it might have been he came into the room, he moved right through the locked door, and he said, look, Thomas, put your hands, your fingers in the holes in my wrist. Put your hand in my side. When I touched his side after he was raised from the dead, I was transformed. Can you understand what he's talking about? For Martha and Mary, it might have been, he did so many things. But when he called Lazarus from the dead, oh, my life was transformed. We are eyewitnesses. In fact, there's Lazarus coming down the road. We were transformed by the truth and the majesty and the might of Jesus, and we're talking about not some stories, but something I saw. For Andrew, he said, man, I saw him float right up to heaven. There's some angels talking to us, man. The last thing I remember seeing is Jesus floating up to heaven, and I'm living for the day when I float up there and meet him in the sky. Amen. Amen? There is so much. In fact, John writes in the Gospel, 21, verse 25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Truth of God. Purpose of God. Glory of God. Direction of God. Foundation of God is enough to help you stand when challenges hit. Challenge is going to hit you in 2016. Question is, what are you going to do? Some of you know, actually, probably many of you know, because I share the travails of my life up here. My wonderful son and I have been rebuilding this Volvo, having to take the head off because in the brilliance of the motor, Volvo motor manufacturers, a lot of other manufacturers, that when the motor gets out of time, the valves will hit the pistons and bend. And it is so easy to bend them when the motor is out of time. It is so hard to fix them. You got to take the middle of the motor out and fix it and then put it and you get everything. It's just hours and hours and hours. And then you got to buy bolts to put it back together and the gaskets to do it all. And so we've been doing that this wonderful time, bonding time, my son and I, covered with grease, ruin our clothes, do all that kind of stuff. And this last week, we finished. And the motors spread out all over the place, and it begins to go back together, you know, and I had to take it to the machine shops, $500 just to get the thing machined and timed and do all that kind of stuff. And put it together and got all these guts off, a new water pump on it, new tensioner, new idler, all that stuff. And it just comes back together. It just looks so beautiful. And for you ladies, you know, it's kind of like your daughter or something, you know, just get her ponytails and you got the ribbons. It's so beautiful. And that's what Joe and I were feeling, you know. It's kind of like you have bow ties on the car. And then we get to this point. Joe's sitting in the car, and it's like we've tested everything. Everything's so good. And I said, well, turn it over, Joe. It's like, nee, 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 nee. And I start hearing this noise. And you know, you get that picture of a little girl, ponytails and bows in her hair, looking so cute. And then possibly in contrast to the picture of her little brother that would come in covered with mud. Right? And you know, oh. Well, I had that, oh, because I saw my timing belt kind of doing a little caterpillar thing on the top of the cams. And it was going out of time. And we turned that thing over for maybe 20 seconds. And it was a calamity. This hideous thing is the tensioner. And it had a mechanical failure. Uh-oh. Right out of the box, brand new, in 5 seconds. Had we turned the motor off after 5 seconds, I might have a greater fullness in my heart as I share this story with you. But no, indeed, we ran that motor for 20 seconds, 15 seconds out of time. So I went to the junkyard yesterday. I got a used one of these. It said Volvo on it. Put it on. Oh, it functions so much different than this one. Joe and I will have a little time this afternoon. We'll turn the motor on. We're going to see whether or not it's irreparably damaged and have to pull the whole thing apart. But challenge will come. What are you going to do with it? Sometimes these challenges will cause us to fail, cause us to collapse, cause us to blame others, cause our failure to just turn outward. But qualities of God in our lives. I'm kind of pausing here. I'm stricken with this story that I... Yeah. I'm just going to move on. But failure will come your way. And the Lord does not want you to collapse. Amen. As Peter is saying, hey, I can see it right over here, man. We're almost there. Don't give up. Amen. Keep working these things. Have these qualities increasing measure, and you will make it home. Amen? All right, here we go. Foundation in the Word. It says, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It says we got to pay attention. Peter's saying, hey, guys, I know you got this. I know you know this. I'm going to remind this to you, but never lose it. Pay attention to what I'm talking about. Because a couple things. We have the risen Lord. We have the eyewitnesses. Plus, we have the word of the prophets. Now, what is the word of the prophets? Basically, we have the word of the prophets recorded in the Old Testament for us today. They had scrolls back in the day, and Peter, being a good Jewish boy, would have spent a great deal of time in synagogue, at the temple, doing all kinds of stuff, memorizing the word, and all the people around them, and all the people in the Jewish culture would be focused on the word and the truth of the prophets. One great deal of focus at the time of Peter was the message of the coming Messiah. Because times were so dark, because the Romans had been there for about 100 years, running everything, taking all their money, doing all this kind of stuff, they were saying, man, we need a Savior. And the message of our Lord Jesus Christ is so strong in the Old Testament. And there are studies that you can go through and just see, man, here's Jesus. See, Jesus all revealed. In fact, there's a book out, just came out end of last year, publicized about that great book, Get It. David Limbaugh wrote it. Recommend that to you. It's kind of from a lay standpoint. But just the truth of Jesus. Jesus walked with two of the disciples after he was raised from the dead and showed him and opened the scriptures to them about how he was contained in all the Old Testament. Amen? And so what Peter is saying, man, we got the fact that I saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We got my testimony, the testimony of everybody else. Plus we have the word of the prophets made more solid. Let me tell you what we're talking about. There's 353. Let me make sure I got that number right here. Some would count as many as 353 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in his birth, death, and resurrection as he walked this planet. Are you tracking with me? Now, let me just give you one. You know, we just come through Christmas, right? But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, which is in Judah, he says, out of you will come for me who will be the ruler over Israel. Everybody knows that Jesus was born where? In Bethlehem, right? He lived where? In Nazareth. God moved him down there. So why? Well, not so he could fulfill this prophecy, but God made the prophecy knowing that that's where Jesus would be born. Amen? Yeah. Are you tracking with me? This is one of them. He said, man, there's a prophet. Micah is a prophet, Old Testament prophet. Also, Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet. Isaiah said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. I pulled this verse out of Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 53. It is as if Isaiah is writing about our Lord Jesus Christ after the fact. It is incredible how much it lines up with what we know about our Lord. Amen? And so what Peter is saying here is like, man, this whole thing has proved to be true. You can bank your life on this. Why? Because there's people 600 years ago waiting for what we see today. We have got this stuff today. You have got challenging times. The Word of God is true. The Word of God will get you through your challenge and over the hill and into heaven. Can I get a witness on that? These readers, they're doing it. They're not sleeping in church. They're paying attention. He says, I know you got this. I know you're doing this. I know you're working it out. But let me remind you, don't forget, because this word is like a light shining in the darkness. And I looked up that word in the Greek, and it is kaloth. And it is translated darkness. But it comes from this meaning of, and it doesn't really come through in English, of dinginess. You know, if something's dingy, think about a hubcap or something, you know, kind of all dirty and rusty. It's kind of dingy. And you shine that baby up and what? It's bright and gleaming and wonderful. The meaning of that kalos is dingy or squalor. And in the midst of squalor, it is the message of Jesus that shines bright. And Peter would say, hey, it's right over here. Don't give up. Failure will grab you. Keep fighting. Have these qualities, godliness, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, patience. It'll take you over the hill, and it'll get you to heaven. He says, you do this. He says, you will do well. Let me read it to you. He says, up here before that, he says, you will do well to pay attention to it. And realistically, you're reading it in the original language. It says, this is the ideal. This is as good as it gets. You do this, and you will make it. Amen? My question for you is, you look back at 2015, how'd you do? The qualities, I think I got them up here. No, I don't got them there. Darn. The qualities that I referenced before. How was 2015? Were you working on those things? How did it work out for you? Because some of us go, man, I'd take 2015 again. Yeah. And some of you are thinking, man, I don't ever want to do 2015 again. If that's you, it's because of the qualities that Peter has lined out in chapter 1 that would change your life. Amen? All right. He says, hey, man, this is the message from heaven. I'm not making this up. This is God's will. This is God's guidance for you to have fullness in your life. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. So these guys weren't making it up. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Above all, there's not a lot of above alls in the Bible. If there's a lot of above alls, guess what? It's not that high. Right? If every time you talk to your kid, you go, above all, above all, above all. See, what else is there, man? Everything's above all. Where's the all? Peter's been telling us about the all, and he says, above all, let me tell you about this book. Let me tell you about Scripture. Now, at that point, there is no New Testament. There is Old Testament. Let me tell you about the Word of God and the impact in life. It did not come about by the prophet's own desires. But God does a miracle in a man, in a woman. There were some women who have spoken in the Bible. So you go, is there women authors? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Deborah, my wonderful wife. I'm thinking Esther. Just they're speaking and stuff. But God does, we call this, I passed out some bulletins earlier. Some, give me a bulletin. Thank you, Lucy. I'll give it back. You go inside here, and we talk about the Bible, very number one, the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible authoritative Word of God. That is one of our creeds. That is one of our fundamental truths that we believe that this book is like no other. And other verses like this are what lead us to believe that the original manuscripts, the ones that Peter wrote, are absolutely infallible, the Word of God. Now, how does it work? Peter tells us that the Holy Spirit moves on men. And what happens is that God, the Holy Spirit, comes on Peter and knows everything about Peter. Can you get a, can I get a witness on that?
Yes.
And it's not as if Peter goes into a trance. No, that's not how it works, man. You've seen a reference to that. It's called automatic writing, where people just kind of go into this trance and all the whoa. But what happens is God moves on the heart of Peter, knowing everything about Peter. And he moves on Peter in such a way that Peter writes this letter and it comes out 100% Peter and 100% God. And when it's done, God said, that's what I wanted. And Peter said, man, that's what I wanted. And it is this unique thing. Inerrancy, the connection between God and the authors of the Bible is at a whole nother level between anything that has happened since. So 2,000 to 4,000 years ago, there was a dynamic connection to God. But it is similar to a much higher degree to what I experienced on Thursday morning, last night, this morning, as I am looking at this message. Last week, anybody remember the message from last week? I fell last week. You know what I remember about last week? Not one of you moved to help me up. I told Aaron, Okay, I'm going to fall. It was a planned fall. I know that. But you guys didn't know that. Except for Roki. He got it out of Aaron. Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that. I could have been harmed, but anyway, okay. Carpet. Yeah, it's hard carpet. It's on wood. Anyway, all right. I'm reading that. It says, if you have these qualities in increasing measure, you will not fall. And I'm like, I'm going to fall. How am I going to do it? I don't know. So I'm going to get Aaron to help me. I'm going to get this cane up there. And there's this thing in sitting with God. And God going, yeah, fall. That's good. I want you to fall. I'm like, okay, that's going to work. I paused about 10 minutes ago about a story that I read this morning. I was so impacted that I called my daughter on the way to church. I went, this is so heavy. No one will be able to focus on what I'm talking about if I share this story. And 10 minutes ago, I was almost going to share that story, and the Lord said, don't do it. That's what it means to be carried along by the Lord. It happens with Lisa in worship. It happened to you in your classes. And it's a dynamic, incredible thing. Great, great preacher. One of the great preachers of the Assemblies of God. Dick Dresselhouse pastored in First Assembly for 30 years or something like that, just up the street on Phyllis Place. And he talked. He retired 5 years ago, 10 years ago, something like that. And I went to a preaching class he did. He said, guys, the thing I missed most about pastoring is Thursday morning in my study, sitting with God, saying, what do you want to tell your people? I share that, just trying to convey what Peter's talking about, men being carried along by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? All right, I need somebody to be carried down to the kitchen and tell George to turn the fan on, because I can't hardly preach anymore. Listen to that, smelling that meat coming up. Anybody else got the meat smell going? All right, we're going to get that fixed for you in a minute. All right, here we go. Are we good? Are we okay? Oh, that's three of us. Okay, maybe I'll fall again. Help me if I do, because it's not planned this week. All righty, here we go. Don't buy the lie. But there were also false prophets. There were liars among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Not everyone is telling the truth. There will always be liars. There were false prophets in Moses' time. Balaam was a false prophet. Was judged. There were false prophets in Ezekiel's time. In fact, the kings would pay off the prophets and say, hey, can you go prophesy this? And they'd say, sure, king, hook me up. I'll hook you up. And so they would lie. And there are always liars that are going to be around. Peter says there's false teachers among us now. Paul talked about it. He said the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. You can find that today. You can find a church that'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. Aaron Buggs goes to the one and says, get your daughter to buy your lotto tickets for you. It'll be just fine. God will bless you in that. And I'm glad that she's not going to that church. Praise the Lord. Oh, I know. I saw him walk in. I know. I'm not throwing him that far under the bus. Okay. Jesus talked about it. He says, watch out that you are not deceived. He says, watch out because you might be deceived. Can I get a witness on that? If he didn't think you could be saved, he says, don't worry about it. There's going to be some false prophets coming, and they'll deceive the other guys, but not you. Don't worry. That's not what Jesus says right there. Watch out. Be careful. Watch out that you are not deceived. many will come in my name claiming I am he. The time is near. Don't follow them. There are some that will. There are some that will be destroyed. It sounds kind of scary. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. And you might be thinking, oh, maybe Pastor Bob is lying to me right now. I'd say, I'm not lying to you. But if I'm lying to you, how can you trust what I'm saying, right? So, what do you got? You got the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit guiding you. You have what? The word of the prophets made more secure, right? Now you got to work the book. And you have these qualities in increasing measure: love, kindness, godliness, perseverance, self-control, knowledge, goodness, and the faith that God has given you, so that you can go, I think Pastor Bob's lying. And you go, yeah, I think he is. But Bible says test everything. Hold on to the good. And guess what? If I am being carried along by the Lord, I can withstand a test. Can I get a witness on that? And you should be able to withstand a test. And our test is this. You say, right here. You say, well, I think, well, I don't care what you think. People get so offended when I say, I don't care what you think. And realistically, you shouldn't care what I think. We should all care what is written in the Word of God. Amen. Let's find out what's in the Word, and let's go by that. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. It's your first time in this church. Yeah, we do this kind of stuff. Watch out. All right, here we go. We do it because the lie will lead you to loss. Many will follow their, these false teachers, depraved conduct, and will bring the way of truth, which is the church, into disrepute. There's some stuff going on in churches these days that doesn't look very good. You can find it on the internet. You know what? And they bring out some church guys on the news. Usually it's some wacko church. It's in the book. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you. They're coming after you. Coming after your money. Coming after that lottery ticket, Aaron. With fabricated stories, their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Spirit of God will guide you into truth, guide you into victory, keep you safe, but you've got to learn how to listen. Because you get so used to saying, oh, man, there's this movie just came out. I want to go see that movie, but it's R-rated. And the Holy Spirit's going, you don't need that movie. Ah. You get used to saying no to God. And when the calamity comes your way, and the Holy Spirit's going, 5 seconds, 5 seconds, 5 seconds. You go, yeah. And calamity comes. Failure comes. You buy the lie. Because you don't have a hookup with the Word. You don't have the qualities of God being increased in your life daily. And the lie comes along and your tickling ears want to hear it. They come up with a clever story to rip you off and you buy it. Hook, line, and sinker. Little side note for you, especially Mr. Aaron. Heard somebody talking about the Powerball lottery yesterday or earlier in the week. Said, the odds are better of winning the Super Bowl 5 times in a row than winning the Powerball lottery. He said, if you talk about winning the Super Bowl 6 times in a row, you're kind of lining up. That's about the odds. Now, Aaron, I don't think you got a team. A little joke there, you know? Okay, yeah, I know. All right. Yeah, there you go. Takes a little while. Humor level's way up here around here. Watch out. All right, let's talk about the clever lies. Mormons, okay? These are all false teachings. These are all heresy. These will all get you to hell. Right here. You heard it first. Mormons. The Mormons, my grandfather was a Mormon. His mother was involved with the colonizing of Mesa, Arizona for the Mormons. I mean, they were Mormons, okay? Mormons will teach you. Walter, you've been coming to church for a year or so, you're messed up, too bad. But your son or anybody's son here, if they do all the Mormon things, can't be a daughter, got to be a son. You do all the Mormon things, go on the mission trip, come back, live your life, all lined up, the gods, plural, will make a planet for you. And you get to populate that planet by calling up at your will, your wife. So she's got to be really good. Because you're going to say, nah, I don't think so. I'm going to go someplace else. And you populate the whole planet. Elohim was once a guy, just a regular guy, on another planet. And he is God the Father. Amen. That will get you to hell. Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, they talk about denying the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus was the brother of Michael the Archangel. Guess what? That'll get you to hell. Jesus was always there, always was. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? Don't want to dice that up. And the Jehovah's Witnesses actually changed that. Oneness. Oneness theology, apostolic, apostolica, all kinds of, there are Pentecostal churches that believe this, that God was the Father, became the Son, and now is the Holy Spirit, and his name is Jesus. It's hard to do the baptism of Jesus, right? We're talking about the man of transfiguration. Jesus standing there, God speaks from heaven. Kind of got to do a little dance to get around that. The baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes down upon Jesus and heavens open up and say, this is my son. Hard to dance around those things. If you have any questions regarding any of what I'm going to say, come and see me later. The Muslims. Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet. Not the best one, not the last one. That Muhammad was the last prophet. Okay, so what do? They take Jesus and take him from way up here and still keep him kind of high, but he puts him along with all a bunch of other guys. That'll get you to hell. 72 virgins, it's not going up though, it's going down. The Hindus believe that everything is God and that God is everything and that when you die, you kind of go into the God soup. Don't really need to be saved. Don't really need Jesus. Prosperity. Oh, that we could all have a lottery ticket today. God's will for you is that you would have a lottery ticket, $1.3 billion. Peter was crucified upside down. Jesus was crucified. Paul was crucified. John was boiled in oil. If God wanted us to have every blessing, if God was in the business making us rich, you would think he would have done a better job, Peter and Paul. God's will is that none would perish. His will is that you come to know him. You got money? Great. You don't got money? Great. Know him. He does not want you to fail in your life. Amen? Amen? I'll tell you what. Now, I don't watch these shows, but I've heard of them. TMZ. That's the only one I know because I don't know any other ones. But so I can remember it, I think. But there's a bunch of these shows about all these rich people that are failing and failing and failing and failing. Amen? Bill Cosby, failing. This guy's got some money. Sometimes money just is the worst thing that you can have. Amen? God wants you to get to heaven. Peter's saying, hey, it's right over here. Don't get lost. Don't stop. It's right over here. I see it. And I want to make sure you get there. Amen? Amen. Are we okay?
Yes.
Thank you for that, Tommy. Don't fall down either, right? There we go. Tough times coming. At least you can come up and play. China in the news. Gas prices are low. I kind of like that part, man. Like a 12-year low, barrel of what? I don't know why we're spending $3 a gallon for gas.
Yeah.
It's 50 gallons of the stuff you can get for $30. Wow, I'm doing the math on that. I kind of like it, but somebody's getting money. Saudi Arabia, Iran. Challenging times. Darkness. Getting darker. Squalor. Dinginess. Filthiness around us. Peter says, don't get swallowed up in failure. It is so easy to happen. Peter says, I would spare that from you. God would spare that from you. In 2016, God does not want failure to grab you. It takes effort. Jesus comes with nail-pierced hands to give you salvation as a free gift. After that, it is a uphill climb. Amen? God wants you climbing. He says you get these properties in increasing measure. You embrace them. You won't fall. You won't stumble. You'll make it all the way to heaven. Amen? Pac-Man Jones. Legal problems. Prideful. Arrogant. Jumping up and down. Screaming at the refs about how they made the wrong call on him. And there was a shot of him on the bench sobbing. When it all became clear that it was his failure that caused all of his teammates and all the people in the stands who were screaming and yelling the first victory in 25 years. And he's sobbing. Peter says, I'd save you from that. Coach said, I'd save it from you. Guys, just keep it under control. We got it. All we got to do is nothing. And they gave it away. Peter says, don't buy the lie. Work the basics. And you can make heaven. Amen?
Amen?
Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that we can indeed make heaven. Lord, that you have called us out of darkness into light, Lord. That you are a beacon, Lord. And that one day there's going to be a new sunrise. That light will shine up around us, Lord. That we would come to know you in a new and true and better and wonderful way. And until then, we got Peter saying, come on, the way is clear. We have the word of the prophets more secure. We have the Spirit of God living in our hearts, guiding us and directing us, that we can grab onto victory, step into victory, and leave our failure and our challenges in the wake and move on to greater and greater and greater things. Stand with me, if you would. We're going to sing. The worship team is coming.